Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen. Have you ever said to yourself, I wish I'd been a fly on the wall for that conversation? You probably remember this because I played it about a gazillion times on the news, and it was President Obama was with the Prime Minister of Russia, and he said, this is my last election. He's, you know, supposedly all the microphones are off, but they weren't. And he says, after the election, I'll have more flexibility. Wouldn't you have liked to have a little bit more, you know, understanding of what happened before that point? I've been reading some U.S. history as of late, and I wonder about those conversations, especially of the leaders of the colonies as they were taking a stand against King George and the Great Britain. Not just the words themselves, but the tremor in their voices when they considered what amounted to treason against the king, fully knowing the consequences if their revolution failed. Or what about the conversations between Abraham Lincoln and his team of rivals when they strategized over the Civil War and the impact of the emancipation of the slaves? You know, it's one thing to have a historian's view, a one-sided view of what was said, but it's quite another to have heard both sides of the conversation and the tone in which they were given. A most important conversation that I wish I'd been a fly on the wall, which would have been difficult because actually this conversation was on the road, so I'd have to be flying right alongside of them. And it would have been between Jesus and his two disciples on the road to Emmaus after his death and resurrection. Jesus was walking alongside them and they were kept from recognizing him. And they were going on and on about all the events of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. And after listening to this whole report, rather patiently, I have to say, Jesus finally said, this is Luke 24, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow, what a conversation that was. It's easy to let your imagination run wild when you think about all those private conversations that we will never know in detail. But in our gospel text this morning, we are allowed to listen in on one of the most unique and life-changing conversations that ever took place. We can say this now, looking back, but it's unlikely the participants fully understood what a momentous and important event they were a part of. What they did know that day was that this conversation was an occasion for great joy. Well, to understand the events surrounding this conversation between Mary and Elizabeth, we need to know of two miraculous pregnancies. Earlier in Luke chapter 1, Luke introduces Zechariah, a priest, and his wife Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God and lived blamelessly according to the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no kids because Elizabeth was barren and they were both getting on in years. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the sanctuary of the Lord when he was offering incenses. Gabriel told him that Elizabeth would bear him a son, and that his name was to be John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. When Zechariah said, "How's this going to happen?" Gabriel declared, "Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Well, Elizabeth, in her old age, as you well know, became pregnant. And this was a miracle beyond all of her expectations. God blessed her, and she gave God all the credit, saying, "He looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Well, in the sixth month, Gabriel made another trip, this time to Mary. He appeared to her and announced the miraculous birth, saying, "Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. Two impossible pregnancies, two miraculous pregnancies resulting in miraculous joy indeed. Mary responded to Gabriel, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Now, you can only imagine what was going on inside Mary's mind after Gabriel left. "Oh, my goodness, what am I going to tell Joseph?" I don't have the accent down real good, but "How can I explain this to my family and friends? Is this really true? Is it a dream? And if it isn't a dream, what am I going to do?" Perhaps it was these questions which were stirring around Mary's mind that sent her on her way to see Elizabeth, maybe to figure the whole thing out. When Mary greeted Elizabeth, an amazing thing happened. The baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy. Now we all know that's no big thing. That's what babies do in the womb. Who hasn't heard a woman say, "Oh my, this kid is really kicking today"? But what Elizabeth was experiencing was far, far from normal. She cannot help but connect John's leaping in her womb with Mary's greeting. Elizabeth knew something special was going on there. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, Elizabeth exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." That's a key sentence. She believed the message that came through Gabriel. Here we are, privy to this conversation that was a proclamation of world-changing events. Culturally, this was a very unusual conversation. Normally, a younger woman would honor the elderly. But it was out of the ordinary for the elder to honor the younger in this way. The way Elizabeth honored Mary was amazing. The Holy Spirit revealed to Elizabeth that Mary was the mother of the Lord. Isn't that interesting that Elizabeth becomes the first person to call Jesus the Lord? She blessed Mary and was humbled that the woman God chose to give birth to the Savior was not only her relative, but was now standing in her home. The rest of the conversation, we're not flies. We weren't there. But surely there were tears of happiness and wonder as Mary and Elizabeth shared the remarkable events that had led them to this place. Each was sharing these things with the only other person in the entire world who would truly understand what was going on. Each had heard from the angel Gabriel. Each was pregnant because of the miraculous power of God. The child each carried would change the world. John would be the last of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus would bring the New Testament as the Savior of the world. It does make you wonder what was said after all that. Did they play the guessing game of why God had chosen them? Did Mary say she wasn't surprised God would choose a righteous woman like Elizabeth? Did Elizabeth respond by remembering that there had always been something special about Mary, even as a little child? Did they talk about what happened or what would happen next? Did they thank God for choosing them? Or did they shudder at the sheer magnitude of the future before them and their sons? Elizabeth was familiar with the stress of societal disfavor because of her barrenness. Mary will experience a similar societal disfavor because of the extraordinary circumstances of her pregnancy. I am so sure that Elizabeth was of great comfort to the young mother-to-be. One thing is sure. God brought these two women, these two blessed women, together for a reason. Their resolve was made stronger after their meeting. Their fears made less. Their joy was multiplied. It was a miraculous joy indeed. Their joy was more than just the joy of bringing children into the world. God was sending in a special herald through John. And God was also sending salvation to the children of man through Jesus, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. Well, immediately after today's, at the end of the text for today, Luke records Mary's song of praise, often referred to as the Magnificat. It is Mary's eloquent song, relating God's blessing to her and God's blessing to the world through the child Savior that she was carrying. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She sings how God will bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. She sings of God's faithfulness, keeping the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. The great song has been loved and revered by one generation after another, and it gives hope to the lowly and to all who love the Lord. It's a song of joy, a song of God's salvation for all people. Is it a coincidence that Mary sings the song while she's still visiting Elizabeth? Or is Mary able to give this great affirmation because she's been with Elizabeth? Did God use Elizabeth's life of righteousness and obedience and miraculous joy to strengthen Mary and help her to see how she fit into God's plan? Millions of believers throughout the ages are forever grateful to Elizabeth and Mary for their lives of obedience and joy. Miraculous joy. You know, in just a few short days, we will celebrate another Christmas. We will sing of joy to the world. We will give presents to people we love. We will smile and wish each other a Merry Christmas. But the truth be told, some of us may be putting on a bit of a show. Why is that? In reality, we may be frightened by our circumstances and prospects for the future, just as Elizabeth and Mary must have been. Now, I don't want to get all weirded out on you guys, but I believe that God can and still does work to bring miraculous joy to all of us. Today, some of you may be feeling more like you've been kicked in a gut than a gentle kick of a promised child of prophecy. This week, our family was touched by death, the death of Marty's mother. And we're not the only ones. The Chosas are still mourning the death of Paul's father. Cheryl and Dean Krantz still mourning the death of their baby, granddaughter Lily. Satram's friends, John Irwin and his widowed wife, Ruth. Kathy Markle's longtime friend. Maybe you wonder if it's not indigestion or a nervous stomach that you're feeling, because to all appearances, life is getting more difficult, more painful, more anxiety-driven. Both Mary and Elizabeth had reasons to look at their circumstances as omens of bad times ahead instead of miraculous joy. But they had been given the word of the Lord through Gabriel. Dear friends in Christ, God has planted the seed of the gospel in each one of us. And that miraculous seed of joy is the cause of our great rejoicing. Isaiah said some 750 years before the birth of Jesus, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Remember what Elizabeth said? "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." God's Holy Spirit is bearing miraculous fruit inside of you and me through the gospel. It's a gospel that proclaims lasting joy and peace through the birth of Jesus. And Jesus has made those promises certain. He promised in John 6, for instance, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." In John 15, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Did you feel that? Did you feel God's Holy Spirit inside you, leaping for joy? It's a miraculous joy indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.